Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. How are things going today, buddy?
Things are going well. It seems like fall is finally here after the extremely hot weather is finally away from us. I know you were talking before we went on air that it's kind of chilly by you as well. But, you know, I like fall. I like fall weather. I like what it brings. I'm a big fan of pumpkins and pumpkin-flavored, you name it. And I enjoy this time of year, and I'm glad that, you know, fall is finally coming upon us. I'm not a big fan of extreme hot. I'm just not. You know, I know I'm not as big of a guy as I used to be, but I'm still a big, you know, kind of a, still a big guy. And heat and I just don't get along. So, anyway, jam-packed show today. You know, Packers and Vikings coming up. That rivalry continues. They play on Sunday this time to open the new Viking Stadium. That's what's happening this go-around between these two teams. The Vikings come in 1-0 after winning their game without really scoring an offensive touchdown at all in their Week 1 win over Tennessee. And Green Bay is coming in with a narrow victory over and improving Jacksonville Jaguar defense. So, you know, we're going to break it down, give our thoughts on keys to victory for the Packers and what the concerns are going into the game. So, you know, with that, before we go any further, I'm going to throw it back over to you, Troy. And how are things out in Western PA?
Well, like you, enjoying the fall weather. I love it. I told you before the show, got a long sleeve shirt on today. Again, if you're listening live or even archive, you may hear the crickets in the background. I love it, Evan. I love being able to have the windows open, you know, a nice, cool evening breeze coming into the sunroom where I'm doing the show. I love it. I love this weather like you. I'm not a fan of the pumpkin, but I'm a fan of the nice, cool fall weather. If it could stay like this 365 days a year, I would be in heaven. And, Evan, one of these two teams will be in heaven Sunday night, probably around midnight, because they will have an early advantage in the NFC North. I know the NFL scheduled a few years back to make divisional games at the end of the year so that the games were meaningful. Well, what that did is it put early season divisional games together. And that means that week two, Vikings, Packers, two teams will have the upper hand, at least for a little bit. I know it's only week two, but the record won't matter, but the head-to-head matchup, the tiebreaker, could be very important as the season goes along. So this is an important week two game. I mean, both teams could recover from a loss, but the tiebreaker, the head-to-head tiebreaker is very important. It's a divisional game. All these things play into it. And like you said, not going to the good old Metrodome in Minnesota this time, going to U.S. Bank Stadium. It's the new home of the Minnesota Vikings. Whole nation will be watching, Evan. It's going to be pretty exciting. I know Teddy Bridgewater is out for the Vikings, but you know what? That defense is the defense that's going to keep them in games. If they can find offense, you know, then, you know, that could make them a little bit more scary. But we're going to talk about the keys to this game. No Teddy Bridgewater, Green Bay and Minnesota both coming in 1-0. I'm going to turn it over to you and we'll get started, bud.
Yeah, well, the big first question coming out is who will be starting the quarterback for the Vikings? Zimmer refusing to name a starter. He's going to give it to opening kickoff to determine who that starter is going to be. Rumor has it the Viking players don't even know who the starter is going to be. And to me, though, that's disadvantage to the Vikings. Because if Sam Bradford is going to start, he should be getting every single rep as a starter, and he should be getting every single rep with the starting offense. He really should. He should be preparing like he will be the starter. So he's already at a disadvantage because he came in right after training camp was done, so he doesn't know the playbook as well as, let's say Sean Hill does. But he does bring a little bit more talent to the offense than Sean Hill does. So the issue is not naming the starter. You put Sam Bradford at a disadvantage. So if Bradford is a starter, you're going to have a hard time running the playbook you want to run. If Sean Hill is a starter, Sean Hill is very limited. He's not a starting quarterback. He's a guy that can be a stopgap for maybe a game or two. He's 36 years old, never been a full-time starter in the NFL. The most games he started in his career, he started 10 games with Detroit in 2010, and that's it. After that, it's an 8-game stretch. So, but the Vikings trying to think, I think the Vikings think they're funny with the whole little, we're not going to name a starter until kickoff. They think they're funny doing that. I think they're actually giving their offense a disadvantage. But you look at the Vikings offense as a whole, Adrian Peterson and Kyle Rudolph are really the only scary elements to this offense. Rudolph's a big threat at the tight end position, and it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is if you're going to get the tight end involved, because tight end, you don't normally throw the ball too deep down the field anyway. Outside of Peterson and Johnson, they got Charles Johnson, Laquan Treadwell, who's a rookie. They have Stephon Diggs, who was a rookie last year, and Adam Thielen, and Cordero Patterson, who's very up and down on the offensive side of the ball. They did not run the ball well at all against Tennessee. Adrian Peterson, he had 31 yards on 19 carries. 1.6 yards per carry. And the big key for Green Bay is Peterson, Troy, is a running back that loves to cut back. He loves being able to cut back to the weak side and go. And this is something that Clay Matthews, I think, struggled in a little bit on Sunday, is he did not really hold a solid edge. He goes in with his hair on fire and just gets to the backfield as quickly as possible. When you have a running back like Adrian Peterson, who looks for those cutback lanes, that could be a potential problem. Peterson might be able to break one or two long runs, and that's really all the Vikings really need from him. Because when Peterson's able to break some runs, it keeps the defense on the field. Packers have a pretty thin defensive line once again with Lowry, Guyon, Daniels, Kenny Clark, and Christian Rangel, the only 5 defensive linemen on the roster right now. And then middle linebacker, you got Jake Ryan, Blake Martinez, and Joe Thomas. That front 3 and middle linebacking core is kind of thin. Fortunately, the Packers got a pretty strong outside linebacking core, and Nick Perry's done a really outstanding job setting that edge up. Biggest concern with the Packers defensively, Sam Shields is likely going to be out with the concussion, still going through the concussion protocol. It's going to be a question, not because they necessarily need Sam Shields for this matchup. It's just more of a question for Sam Shields' long-term health. So I think the Packers defense should have a pretty easy time slowing down this Viking offense. Sean Hill doesn't scare me. Sam Bradford, I don't have a lot of – he doesn't scare me a whole lot. Now, if he had if he gets every single rep with the starting offense, maybe I'm a little more worried about the vertical passing game of the Vikings. But if they're splitting snaps in practice and Bradford's not getting all the reps, then I'm not really that worried. So the Packers defense should have a good game. But the key is going to be getting off the field on third down. You can't allow Adrian Peterson to dictate the tempo of the game. Peterson's a running back that can take over the game. And the Vikings will ride him and, play stout defense and keep the Packers offense off the field if they allow them to. So when you look at the matchup between the Vikings offense and this Packer defense, what really stands out to you?
Well, it's going to come down to what you said, Adrian Peterson. And just a fun fact, Vikings actually have a higher-ranked offense than Green Bay Packers by one position, not by much. They did it by yards. But you look at this game, Evan, quarterback-wise, you know, where do you give the advantage? Do you give it to the Packers defense, or do you give it to the Minnesota Vikings? And I think you definitely give it to the Packers offense, or defense, I'm sorry. So what that means is it's going to become a common theme this year. So those that are loyal listeners and those that are going to listen, you know, 17 weeks into this thing, Packers have to win on first down, Evan. And when they win on first down, I would imagine Zimmer's going to try to mix it up with some play action. So you need to shut down Adrian Peterson. There's the bottom line. That's the matchup. Stop Adrian Peterson. Take away play action and force the Vikings to be one-dimensional. You do that, you're going to win this game. And you're going to win the game handily if you force them to be one-dimensional. When you start mixing in the play action, and Adrian Peterson, like you mentioned, has a couple of runs, doesn't even have to be consistent 7-8 yard runs. What Adrian Peterson can do to hurt the Packers, which he's done many times, run for 2 yards, -1 yard, 3 yards, bam, 45 yards, bam, 60 yards. Those are the plays the Packers cannot afford to give up. Now, my concern is your same concern, gap control. Can the Packers play disciplined defense against Adrian Peterson? I'm not sure. What you mentioned with Clay Matthews, Evan, it's not a one-time thing. This is something we've talked about for the last 2 years. Clay Matthews has one gear, and that gear is awesome at times. But that gear can also be a detriment to the defense. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Clay Matthews, but there are times against teams that you can get away with that. The Vikings are not one of them, not with Adrian Peterson. So that scares me. It scares me a little bit. However, I think you make the quarterback have to beat you. And I think that's what a lot of teams are going to do this year, no matter who the quarterback is, Sean Hill, Sam Bradford. Bradford can have his moments, but I would much rather take my chances with Bradford dropping back 35 times a game or 35 times against the Packers, even with no Sam Shields, against this Packers secondary. I like the secondary. I like the pass rush. I know the Vikings have a pretty stout offensive line, but I like the Packers' secondary against both quarterbacks. Bradford will turn the ball over. Bradford will give you some chances. The Packers need to take advantage of those. But the big key is to not let Adrian Peterson get one of those 40 to 60-yard runs that will change the momentum of the game. The games that the Vikings win, Peterson has one of those big runs at a key time to change the momentum of the game. But overall, that's really all the Vikings have. It was evident in week one, Evan. The Vikings offense stumbles with no Teddy Bridgewater. I know it was only week one, but you had, if you watched any of the game, there is a difference between Teddy Bridgewater and, well, with Sean Hill. But I don't consider Sam Bradford a huge upgrade over Hill. I know Bradford started a lot of games, but I've never been sold on Sam Bradford. So I give the advantage to the Packers' defense, but they have to play good gap control. They cannot give Peterson that cutback. So switching back over to the offense, unless you have anything else to add, like I said, the go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
No, I was just going to
finish your thought.
I was going to throw it back over to the offense, but if you got something to add on defense, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the other key I forgot to mention is going to be safety play, just for the fact that when you have a team that's going to be trying to run downhill at you, I'm going to say look for that safety play to be very important. Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett didn't play really good games on last Sunday. They're going to have to play much better. And then look for Micah Hyde and maybe even Kentrell Bryce to get quite a bit of action in there just to keep some fresh bodies in. So that's all it's going to finish up with.
Yeah, I agree with the safety play. I mean, it's just going to come down to tackling, which is something we brought up with the past couple of seasons. They got to be sure, solid tackling. You know, what I see the Vikings trying to do, Evan, I know they got Cordell Patterson, and maybe he's a deep threat, you know, Stephon Diggs. But I really see them trying to go underneath a lot and trying to get a lot of run after you catch. And the Packers just have to keep the player and the ball in front of them. And if they do that and force the Vikings into long drives, it can actually be to Packers' advantage. I know you want to get off the field on third down, but if you're going to give them the underneath stuff and keep the ball in front of you, I'll be okay giving up a first down here and there. They have to limit the amount of long drives, though, because that's what the Vikings are going to want. The Vikings are going to want to control the clock against Green Bay and keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline. Because I know the Vikings' defense is pretty good, and we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But I think Zimmer is going to try to play a ball-control type game. And if you're shutting down Peterson, it's going to put it onto the arm of either quarterback. And, again, I don't see the deep ball with either of them. And so the Packers are going to have to, like you said, get off the field on third down. They did a good job against the Jaguars to a point, except on fourth down. There's a series of fourth downs where they couldn't get off the field. They made a play at the end of the game, which is great. Couldn't get off the field on those fourth downs. They're going to have to do that against Minnesota and try to limit the amount of long drives and then stop Peterson, like I said. So with that, Evan, the Vikings are going to try to keep Rodgers on the sideline. What do the Packers have to do offensively against this Minnesota defense?
Well, the Vikings defense, especially their front seven, is very talented. The big thing is, and this goes with every game, they got to keep Aaron Rodgers upright. And I know that's a no-brainer, but here's the issue you have with this one. You've got Lane Taylor starting at guard, and you've got J.C. Treader, the new full-time center. You're going up against Brian Robertson, Sharif Floyd, Lindell Joseph, and Everson Griffin, mixed with Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, and Chad Greenwood. That's a very nasty front seven. Lane Taylor had to grow up in a hurry last week. He's going to have to grow up even more in a hurry this week because he's kind of learning on the fly right now. Goes against a tough Jacksonville front line, now going up against an even better Minnesota front line. So that's going to be key number one. The key number one is going to be offensive line play and protection for the quarterback. And if Rodgers scrambles, so be it. But the thing is it can't make, what Rodgers did against Jacksonville, it did look like he was in duress at times. But he wasn't, I never really felt that he was in much duress. He moved around to buy a little bit of extra time. The offensive line overall blocked pretty well. Rodgers had to buy extra time to allow guys to get open. So that's number one. Number two, to stop the pass rush, one of the big things to do, get a ground game going. Get a ground game going early with Eddie Lacy and James Starks, now the only two tailbacks on the roster to go along with fullback Aaron Rutkowski. But get that running game going early. Pound that front. Wear out the Packers, the Vikings front four with the Packers ground game. And just pound it down their throat. That's going to be key number two. Get that running game going early. Because what that's going to do, it's going to soften up the defensive line a little bit so they're not just going to be pinning their ears back and going after Rodgers. And the other key is, the wide receivers have to find ways to get open. They struggled to get open in coverage on Sunday, and that's something that the Packers receivers struggled to do last year without Jordy Nelson. And then Jordy Nelson first came back, they struggled once again. Now, Terrence Newman, not really a great corner. He's a scrappy veteran, but like I said, not really a great corner.
Xavier Rhodes is an up-and-coming corner. And then they got Trey Waynes, who's, I don't know what he's going to be in year number two. But the Packers need to find ways to get open against these guys. And I think they can, but the thing is, Rodgers needs time to find his guy. So I look for the Packers, like, you know, to rush the ball a lot. I think that's going to be the big thing they got to do. And I look for them to get Eddie Lacy and James Starks involved. And I hope to get Jared Cook involved. Jared Cook's a safety that, you know, he's probably, he probably is the only tight end out of the two between him and Rodgers that has the athleticism to go up against this Minnesota athletic defense one-on-one. So they need to get Cook going a little bit. But I look for the Packers to have some success. And the key thing is going to be staying on the field on third downs. They allowed the defense for the Packers to be on the field a little bit too much times. And, you know, so there is that as well. And then the final thing is score touchdowns in the red zone. Don't settle for field goals. Put touchdowns in when you get it in the end zone. If you put touchdowns on the board, Minnesota does not have the offense to keep up with you. If they force you to settle for field goals and it becomes a field goal game, that's when Minnesota can come bite you on the ass. So what are your thoughts offensively for Green Bay?
Well, I'm going to touch on a few things, since most of the things you mentioned are on my checklist. Number one is you cannot settle for field goals. You've got a great kicker in Mason Crosby. Every once in a while, 3 points is good. Against this Viking defense, Evan, you have to punch it in the end zone. If it's going to be a field goal game and honestly a low-scoring game, I might have to tilt the edge to Minnesota. The Packers have to get 6 points. I mean, extra points are not gimmies in today's league, but they have to get a touchdown, 6 points. You got to put 6 on the board instead of 3, and that means red zone efficiency. And that kind of couples to what I was saying at the end of last game, and it'll go into this game. They've got to figure out in the red zone what they're going to do as that go-to target. They now have Jordy Nelson back, big target in the red zone, but, of course, Minnesota's going to know that. Somebody else has to emerge in the red zone. It can't always be Jordy Nelson. And that's where I think, and I've said this before, I think Richard Rodgers has to be developed into that red zone guy. Now, he's got great hands. He's got good size. He's a guy that can match up and be a good red zone threat. But I think he still needs to develop as that guy in the red zone. I wouldn't say he's a dominant force in that red zone, but he could be. And I think you just have to keep developing him. Now, down the middle, inside the 20s, I agree with what you said. They have to get Cook involved. I wish I would have seen more of it last week, and maybe the Packers didn't want to throw everything out. I mean, I know it's you're playing to win, and I doubt that it was in McCarthy's mind, well, I don't want to show this for future weeks. But I think they can get a matchup against Minnesota and get Jared Cook involved. And I don't think he's going to have like 8 catches for 150 yards, but I think you can break one down the seam with Cook or two and get a decent-sized play. You know, a 15, 20-yard gain, change field position, keep it 5 alive, and maybe, you know, use that momentum on that drive to go down and get some points. So I really believe that matchup, that tight end matchup, is something the Packers have to take advantage of. I think the Viking cornerbacks will do pretty good on the Packer receivers, to be honest, Evan. Like you said, they're up and coming. They're young. They're aggressive type cornerbacks. There could be an Aaron Rodgers interception in this game, and they don't happen very often. But I think that the secondary of the Vikings will do pretty good. And then finally, the offensive line. You know, I'm not 100% sold on the line. You know, Josh sitting gone, Lane Taylor filling in, did okay. They've got to keep progressing, but they've got to keep Aaron Rodgers clean. And Aaron Rodgers has to, you know, be Aaron Rodgers. But I think they'll do pretty good against the wide receivers, which means that there's got to be that check down, which could be some ball to the running back, and, as I just mentioned and you mentioned, to the tight end, whether it be Jared Cook, whether it be Richard Rodgers. But I think the tight end's got to get involved. And, you know, to touch on the running game, Evan, the Vikings are going to try to shut down Eddie Lacy. I mean, you pick your poison against the Packers. What are you going to do? You going to shut down Eddie Lacy and make Aaron Rodgers beat you? Well, you know, Aaron Rodgers can single-handedly beat you. Are you going to, you know, really try to protect against the pass and then let Eddie Lacy beat you? Well, Eddie Lacy can beat you. Now, we saw late in the game against Jacksonville when Eddie Lacy broke out the big run. That is the Eddie Lacy that Packer fans know. You know, the 3-4 yards, 3-4 yards, and then bam, he can rumble, tumble, and go downfield. He's not going to break it away. I mean, he doesn't have the breakaway speed, but that was a big play for the Packers. And Eddie Lacy will bring those plays every once in a while. So pretty much the same things you said, I agree with. I want to get your quick thoughts, though, Evan. Offensive line trenches, we talk about this. Where do you give the advantage? The Vikings front four, front seven, or the Packers offensive line?
Well, even with Josh Sitton, if Josh Sitton was still in a Packer uniform, I would lean towards the Viking defensive line because that defensive line of the Vikings is very good, very physical, very aggressive. They're going to be hard to move off the line. You know, Brian Robertson, big boy, you know, 6'3", 259. He's a guy that's going to drive the offensive tackle nuts. Floyd, 6'3", 311. Joseph, 6'4", 329. And Griffin is, you know, 6'3", 273. They're a hard bunch to move around. And I would give that advantage to the Vikings defensive line, regardless of who the quarterback, I mean, who the Packers left guard was. But that's going to be a very tough matchup for the Packers front five. And I know they're capable of doing that, but it's just going to be tough.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. It's going to be a tough game. The Vikings defense is going to try to keep them in the game. And here's the one thing, the last thing I want to talk about. Blair Walsh missed that field goal, Evan, last year for the Vikings, which would have propelled them to a playoff win. Blair Walsh, pretty much a reliable kicker up until that point. I'm not sure where his confidence level is as a kicker. I know they kicked some field goals last week, but when you're looking at this, if this comes down to a field goal attempt, do you have, and I know we're Packer fans, but I'm flipping the table over to Blair Walsh with that missed field goal in the playoffs. Do you have 100% confidence in Blair Walsh to make a game-winning kick against the Green Bay Packers if it comes down to that?
Blair Walsh is a very good punter. I mean, kicker. You know, he's a really good kicker, and he just had a bad kick. And you know, unfortunately, he had a bad kick. I would still trust Blair Walsh if I happen to root for that team wearing purple. So, looking at prediction wise, I think this will be, I would say 31-13 Green Bay. I think Green Bay is able to get this victory. I think the offense for the Vikings doesn't do a whole lot. And I think the Packers probably get a touchdown on defense. But I say 31-13. Where are you looking at for this game?
I'm not sure the Packers get 31, Evan. I like the Packers offense, but it's a tough Viking defense. Like you said, that front seven, I really like it. I think, you know, honestly, I think they're going to keep the Packer receivers in check. I think they're going to keep Eddie Lacy in check to a point. But I think the Packers do enough. I think they can mix it up. I think they can keep them off balance. And I also think that the Packers defense is going to be able to help the offense out. And what I mean by that is field position. Making the Vikings go three and out on some drives that are deep in their own territory, getting the ball back maybe around the Green Bay 40 or midfield after a change of possession on a punt. But I think Green Bay, will come down, and I think the struggles in the red zone will continue against this Viking defense, Evan. I don't think they score touchdowns all the time, but I think the Packers will put up 24, and I think they can hold the Vikings to maybe 10 or 14. So I'm going to go 24-13 Green Bay. So the same score on the Vikings side, and I'm just going to go a touchdown less with Green Bay, 21-24, somewhere in that range. I just think that Vikings defense is going to do everything they can do, but there's going to be a play, and it's not necessarily a turnover by the Green Bay defense, but I think a big three and out somewhere in this game where they stop them deep in their own territory and the Packers have a short field and they'll take it down and score a touchdown, and that will be a game changer to switch the momentum, maybe put the Packers up by 14 or maybe by 17 after the Packers defense has a nice three and out somewhere along the line. What else you got?
I got nothing. We can let our listeners go.
Sounds good. I know tomorrow's Friday night. We've been taking Friday nights off, but Evan is going to give you his week one predictions. I know, Evan, that you had put it out last week on Facebook, covering the spread and then head and straight up. So join in to Facebook tomorrow and listen to Evan, or he might do it on the Red Light Sports Ramble radio show. I don't think he's decided yet. But for that, for Evan Witalis, and I am Troy Otradovic. We'll get back at you Monday evening, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, recapping what we hope is a Green Bay Packer victory in 2-0. With that said, everyone, enjoy your night. Fasten your seatbelts. Put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you at a later time. Have a good night, everyone.